As you see on the screen, if you have your Bibles and would prefer that, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Our scripture reading today will be from Hebrews 11, 24 through 28. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see the presence of everyone who made it out to worship God this morning. It's been a very encouraging worship service so far, and I don't know about you, but I've been very encouraged already this morning because Sister Lanille already gave me my mints. Apparently that is a tradition she has to give the preacher some mints, and that's a tradition I'm very thankful for. I was grateful for that. I couldn't tell if she was trying to be nice or maybe a passive-aggressive way to say I had some bad breath, but either way, I was grateful to have those, and I've had one already. We've had a wonderful service so far. We started out this morning with an excellent lesson from Brother Robert Ogden on Ezekiel. If you weren't here for that, you missed a fine lesson. I thought it was kind of humorous, though, that he apologized to you guys for delivering a lesson that he had done already. And I'm thinking, I do that all the time. And specifically, last time I got up here, I gave a lesson on, it was David and Goliath. And I think that was the seventh time I've given that lesson. So there's no shame in doing a lesson that you've already done already. So don't worry about that. But a fine lesson from Robert Ogden this morning. And then we had some wonderful Bible classes. We had a great class this morning in Colossians from Brother Reginald. I'd like to thank him for the work that he puts in. Teaching a class is not easy. We all work. We have a lot of things going on in our lives. And to have to find the time to also prepare a lesson for the class can be difficult, but we're all rewarded for the hard work that teachers put in. So I want to thank the Bible class teachers who put in hard work this morning preparing for their classes. And we've been greatly encouraged so far with a worship service, being able to lift up our voices and praise to God, to be able to go to him in prayer, to be able to reflect upon the death of his son. We have a lot of people who are out of town, it looks like. We need to check in on them. But we do have several visitors here, and we're very thankful for your presence. If there are visitors here who are of the community and you're looking for a church to call home, a place-to-place membership, we would encourage you to look into this group. It's a wonderful group of Christians here. And I want to assure you and remind you that I'm not the regular evangelist. That'll be very obvious in about 10 minutes. But I would encourage you, if you're trying to formulate your opinion of the group here, I would encourage you to come back in a few weeks and hear our regular evangelist, Brother Adam Shanks. He does an excellent job. I'd like to thank Brother Neil for offering the invitation to me to speak. I was very honored that he asked me to do that. There's obviously a lot of qualified men here who could have stepped in, so I'm very thankful that he asked me to do that. I'm actually very happy that he asked me to do the 11 o'clock, because at the 11 o'clock, if I preach for 15 minutes, none of you mind because you're all hungry. The preacher who has the 9 o'clock, like Robert, there's a lot of pressure on him to go all the way up to a quarter till, because if you don't, it's really awkward when you look and say, classes will begin in 30 minutes. So I'm very happy that I got the 11 o'clock this morning. We're going to be doing a lesson, if you notice the scripture reading, has to do with Moses. And specifically, we're going to talk about five fundamental questions of life. We'll be talking about something that we all have to deal with every day. So all of us, I'm assuming all of us because I do it, we ask ourselves questions all the time, and we answer our own questions. That's not crazy. We all do that. And it's usually not super important things. So we might ask ourselves something like, what do I want to wear today? What do I want to do after work today? What do I want to eat for lunch? We ask ourselves all these questions all the time, and those aren't very important questions. But we're going to be spending our time looking at five very important and very fundamental questions of life. And we'll look at those from the viewpoints of Moses. Now, this is a sermon that my father actually delivered earlier in the year. When I heard it, I was very encouraged by it, and I knew that that was something that I had to take and kind of make it my own. So I got his outline from him, and I made it better. And when I say better, Luke already knows what I mean is shorter, and probably with fewer Greek definitions as well. But I liked the sermon because it really hit me. It was something that I could immediately apply to myself, and I knew that I wanted people outside of Clarksville, Tennessee, where he preaches, to hear it. So this is kind of a spin on his sermon that I had, five fundamental questions of life. So let's go back and look at the scripture reading that Adam read from earlier. So if you have your Bibles, look in Hebrews 11 again. Let's read that again, starting in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So we're going to look at that passage in Hebrews 11. We'll also talk about some of the life of Moses from the book of Exodus, where we can find the story of Moses. And we'll talk about these five questions, these five fundamental questions, and how they can apply to Christians today. The first question we'll talk about is the question, who am I? Who am I? So with this question, Moses settles the issue of identity, who he's going to identify with. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, and he identifies as being a Hebrew. So if you think about the life that Moses had while he was in Egypt, if you're in Pharaoh's household, it's a pretty good life, pretty easy life. But he knew who his people really were. And we can read in Exodus how he was walking around Egypt one day and he saw how his people were being mistreated. And that really had an effect on Moses. And we saw how he acted, he intervened, he got into trouble, and he fled Egypt. But he knew who his people were. And he knew he didn't want to identify with Pharaoh's household. And that's not just an easy decision to make. It wasn't a simple decision of, oh, maybe I'll be an Egyptian or Hebrew. It's not like it really matters. That's actually a kind of a tough choice to make when you're in Egypt because of the way that they were treated. Let's look at a couple passages quickly that kind of describe that. Turn back to the book of Genesis for me. Genesis 43. These Hebrews, they weren't treated the best in Egypt. So choosing to identify with his people was a tough decision. Genesis 43, verse 32, they served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And then also flip over to chapter 46 of Genesis, you'll see a very similar thought there. Chapter 46, it's kind of the same idea here in verse 34. You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd, speaking of the Hebrews, is an abomination to the Egyptians. It'd be difficult to choose to leave this easy life, this luxurious life in Pharaoh's house, and choose to be with his people, the Hebrews, because they were treated very poorly. They were viewed, as it says in Genesis, as an abomination. So Moses had to answer this question, who am I really? Who am I going to be? And I would ask myself, and I would ask you, how are you going to answer this question? Who are you? Who am I? Are you a Christian? Or are you someone who's from the world? That's kind of the dilemma that we're in today. Moses had to choose between Pharaoh's house and his people. We have to choose today, are we really going to separate ourselves and be Christians, be separate, or are we going to be just like the world around us? Let's look at Matthew 19. We need to think about the idea of separating ourselves from the world. Separate yourselves. Let's look at Matthew 19, verse 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold, and he will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What do you have to leave behind? What do we need to put behind us? As Christians, we cannot identify with the world. We have to be separate. We have to be different. And just like the Hebrews were treated poorly by the Egyptians, we have to be comfortable and embrace that idea that as Christians, we're not going to be treated like everyone else. We'll be treated differently. If we're truly representing Christ, we're not going to be treated the same. And that often might be some pretty poor treatment. So ask yourself that question. Who are you? Are you going to choose to be with Christ and be separate from the world? That's the question you have to answer. So as we start this week out, as we all go into either work or school tomorrow and our activities throughout the week, start by asking yourself, who am I? And then reflect that to others around you. The second question we'll look at is, what do I want to be? What do I want to be? With this question, Moses settles the issue of responsibility. So first he settles the issue of identity, and with this question, the issue of responsibility. So if you think back in Exodus 3 and 4, so Moses has fled Egypt, and he is now with, he's in the land of Midian. And when he leaves, we're told that the king of Egypt, so Pharaoh, dies. Once that king dies, the people of Israel, they are crying out. So the Hebrews, they're being mistreated, they're crying out, they're trying to get God's attention through prayer, and we're told that God hears their cries. And he remembers that promise that he had with Abraham, and he wants to do something to help his people. So his decision is to talk to Moses. So he appears to Moses in the burning bush, and he has that conversation with Moses saying, I need you to go back to Egypt, and you're going to lead God's people out. It was kind of a difficult task for Moses to embrace at first. He thought he wasn't the best speaker. He thought the Egyptians would have a hard time knowing who is sending him. But after talking to him, Moses has the faith that he is going to go back to Egypt. And he takes on that responsibility of leading Israel out of Egypt. So he chooses very poor treatment from the Egyptians when he goes back over that great life that he had before. And I would ask the question, what do I want to be today? What do you want to be? What responsibility do you want to have? So Moses embraces that responsibility of leading Israel out of Egypt. What responsibility do you want to have? What do you want to be? Do you want to be responsible for living right or for moving forward? Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, a great passage here about moving forward. So turn to Philippians chapter 3. When I think about what do I want to be, and as you think about what do you want to be, I would consider this passage from Philippians 3. We'll start reading in verse 12. Hopefully, when we ask ourselves that question, what do I want to be, we're going to answer it by saying, I want to be someone, I want to be a Christian who is progressing and who's pushing and striving forward. Look at Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what do you want to be? What do I want to be? I want to be this individual in Philippians 3 who's choosing to forget what lies behind and progresses to what lies ahead. What was ahead for Moses was this new task and this new responsibility that he was now going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was what was ahead for him. He had to put that past life behind him. What do you need to put behind you today? If you're asking yourself that question, what do I want to be? It might involve putting something behind you and progressing and striving, as it says here in Philippians 3, straining forward to what lies ahead. I would encourage us all to look ahead. How can we be better? How can we draw closer to Christ, progress towards things that are ahead? So what do I want to be? Hopefully, I want to be someone who strains forward to that goal of heaven. The third question we'll look at this morning is, what is important to me? With this question, Moses answers the issue or the question of priority. What is going to come first in his life? And we'll ask ourselves that question today as well. By faith, Moses considered suffering reproach greater, so of more priority, than the treasures of Egypt. He looked forward to that reward that came from serving God. It wasn't important to Moses that he have those earthly pleasures, those physical riches that would come with being associated with Pharaoh's house, and rather to associate himself with his people. He had the right priorities. And talking about priorities for a Christian is very important. We have to decide today what is important to us. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And let's settle this issue of priority. What is important in your life? Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at two verses here. In verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Unfortunately, for many people today, this idea of money, and maybe you don't think of physical money all the time, but that might come in the form of putting your career in front of serving Christ. We all have something earthly that we might have to put aside. What is your priority? Because we're told here in Matthew 6, we can't serve two different masters. If your job and striving after the dollar is what's most important in your life, that's your master. You can't serve God as well. You have to pick one or the other. We cannot choose to serve both. Moses chose to forget the riches of Egypt and strive forward to that goal and that reward that came from serving God. We have to do the same thing today. We cannot serve two masters. So what priority should we have? You look down now into verse 33, a passage we know well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That should be our priority. Not things of this world, material things. Those are not our priority today. Rather, seeking first the kingdom of God. We saw Moses doing that very thing. So, what is important to me? What is important to you? Hopefully, we'll choose seeking first the kingdom of God today. Our fourth question, how am I going to live? I think this is a very important question to answer. It's a question we need to ask every morning when we wake up. How am I going to live today? That is a question we have to answer. With this question, Moses settles the issue of resiliency. What does that word resilient mean? If you look up resilient, you'll see it's being able to withstand difficult conditions. So I think when a Christian talks about being resilient, that's very applicable. We have to be very resilient. As a faithful Christian, if we're truly following Christ, we'll find ourselves in many a difficult situation on many occasions. We must be resilient. So Moses settled this issue of resiliency. Moses chose to live facing difficulties by faith. Do we remember how difficult life was for Moses when he did come back and he did confront Pharaoh? Life got very tough for him and Aaron. They were not the most popular men in town, even by their people, even by the Hebrews. Because at one point, they're talking to Pharaoh about let God's people go, and he makes the work for the Hebrews even harder. Now the Hebrews don't like Moses and Aaron. Life was difficult for him, but he faced that difficulty by faith. He was faithful in God. He knew God had a plan for him and for his people, and he had faith. He faced those difficult situations by faith. How will you live today? How will you confront difficulty? Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start reading in verse 32, and ask yourself this question, how am I going to live? But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Do you believe that passage in Hebrews 10? Do you believe today that this still applies to us? When I have done the will of God, we're going to receive a promise? I hope we embrace that and recognize that that still applies to us today. Remind yourself of that when answering this question, how am I going to live? Remind yourself that it takes endurance. I love how the Hebrew author uses that word, endurance. It's often interchangeable with the word patience in the New Testament, depending on the translation you use. But that idea of endurance, having to strive towards a goal and having to agonize over reaching that goal, that really applies to being a Christian. It takes endurance. It's not easy. It's not a short sprint. There's a lot of difficulties that we will face. There's a phrase that came from another lesson that I've seen. We often talk about, when referring to sports, we talk about the agony of defeat, how horrible it can be to strive after something and then lose. That's an agonizing feeling. But the author of this article or this sermon, he turned that around and he reminded us of the agony of victory. Sometimes winning is the harder thing. Sometimes being the winner is the more difficult thing. I'm a huge fan of sports, and I love any kind of sport where the person who wins is the one who agonized the most, the one who suffered the most. I love watching events like that as opposed to other sporting events where you feel like people aren't trying. So one of the greatest examples of, in my mind, of the agony of victory would be in the 2012 Australian Open tennis final. Probably not a lot of tennis fans here, so I'll kind of set the stage for you. The two players in the final, the two best players in the world at the time, the Serbian Novak Djokovic and the Spaniard Rafa Nadal, these two guys battled for 6 hours on the tennis court to decide the winner. And in case you don't know much about tennis, there's no halftime, there's no long breaks. You get 90 seconds every other game, and you get 3 minutes at the end of a set. And other than that, you're making explosive movements and sprinting for, in this case, 6 hours. And the look upon the face of those two men as they battled was amazing. Seeing that agony, how badly they wanted to win. They weren't willing to give up. And of course, you could talk about the agony of defeat. Nadal loses. He has that look of defeat on his face. But look at the agony of victory from Novak as he won that match. It's amazing. And you see that in lots of sports. I see that all the time in running. You see that in many sports, how agonizingly painful it can be to win. As a Christian, if you are going to get to heaven, do we see the example set before us in the New Testament? That's just a super easy thing to accomplish. It's no problem. The Christians in the New Testament, they had no problem. Their life was easy. Just smooth sailing. No, we're told the opposite. We're told it's difficult. We're told to pick up our cross daily and follow Christ. That's not an easy thing to do. Being a Christian, being different from the world, standing out, is hard. And when we get to heaven, when we get that victory, we'll see the agony of victory, how hard it will be. But it's the reward we get for striving and for enduring, for agonizing. The reward is infinitely greater than the struggle that we had to go through. Remind yourself of that every day. Ask yourself that question, how am I going to live? And it's going to be difficult at times, but we can do it. We can have that confidence, we can have that faith, and we can have that victory. The last question that we'll look at this morning, who am I going to listen to? With this last question, Moses answers the question of authority. By faith, Moses kept the Passover as it was ordained of God in order to be saved. We see that in Exodus chapter 12. We have a duty today to only listen to our Father, listen to God, listen to His Son, Jesus Christ, in His teachings. We'll look at a couple passages very quickly. Matthew chapter 17, in verse 5. Matthew 17 and 5. He was still speaking, and behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Or I like the King James better, "Hear ye him." Who are we going to listen to? Is it Christ? Or is it some man? We talked about in the class this morning, the traditions of man so often are what people look to. What is traditional? What have men done for the last few hundred years? No. Ask yourself, what does God command of us? What does Christ require of us? That is who we are going to listen to. Another passage, Hebrews 1, the importance of listening to Christ. Hebrews 1, we'll look at the first couple verses there. "Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created all the world." Do we see another option there of who we're going to listen to? So at one point, God sent prophets, and then in these last days, he has sent his Son. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you drawing your authority from? Because if it's not Christ, it's not the right place. Remind yourself of that. The authority that we have needs to come from Jesus Christ. So we have to put away what is earthly. We have to put away what is from man. In Jeremiah, there's a passage I like there. Don't listen to men. That does not need to be our priority. Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll look at a verse there in Jeremiah 23, verse 16. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hope. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of God." When anyone gets up here to preach to you, or no matter who you're listening to, ask yourself, is what they are saying, does that match up with Scripture? Because if it doesn't, you need to go talk to that person about it. Don't just take what you hear up here and just, okay, that's probably true, I'm going to go run with that. You need to match that up with God's Word. Who are you going to listen to? Moses knew who to listen to. Said he kept the Passover as ordained of God. Who are you going to listen to today? Do not be distracted by the world. Make sure that Scripture is guiding your life and not the opinions or traditions of man. So Moses answered five questions of faith. He answered the question of identity. Who am I? He answered the question of responsibility. What do I want to be? Moses answered the question of priority. What is important to me? He answered the question of resiliency. How am I going to live? And he answered the question of authority. Who am I going to listen to? These are five fundamental questions of life that I think we should all ask ourselves as we start this week out. Find which of those you think you could work on. It might be different. Some of those questions you may have nailed down. You may be doing a great job at. But I'm sure everyone here can find one of those five questions that we could probably improve upon in our lives. And I'm asking you, find that question. Find which one applies to you. And as you start this week out, ask yourself that question and ask yourself, how can I improve upon it? We typically close by offering the invitation to become a Christian. The invitation is very simple. When you open up your New Testament and you look at it, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There's one way, and that's through Christ. Now we look later in the New Testament, we see how is that done? How do we access Christ? Now, Romans chapter 6 was already referenced today, and we can see in Romans 6, we access Christ through a burial and baptism. Look at any example of conversion in the book of Acts, whether it's those at Pentecost, if it's Lydia and her house, if it's the Philippian jailer, the Ethiopian eunuch, any example, even Saul, who changed his name to Paul, any example of those being converted in the book of Acts were provided this simple invitation. And it's an invitation you can see in Mark 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's that simple. If you have not done that, then you're not a Christian. If you need the invitation to become a Christian, don't delay that. That is not something to gamble with. That is not something to put off. If you need to be baptized, as Acts 2 and verse 38 says, for forgiveness of sins, if you need to do that for the first time, we would encourage you to come forward so that we could assist you with that. You can do that as we stand and as we sing.